Okay, good evening everyone. Welcome to Ignite. Welcome to this session, Protect Your Data Using Azure Encryption Capabilities and Key Management. Before the start of the session, I got a chance to talk to Jude and Darian and John and Sanjeev about some of the day-to-day data-related problems, you know, compliance, security mandates, privacy mandates, and then there was a gentleman who talked about the Cortana analytics and Cortana related data. So yes, data is the center of universe, and that's why we are here to learn about what are the different protection capabilities provided by Azure to encrypt the data, to make sure that the data is protected at rest, the data is protected in transit. So we'll definitely in the next 60 minutes or 60 plus minutes, we'll go over the different capabilities provided by Azure from a data protection perspective, and then how you can use those capabilities to help meet your security compliance and privacy commitments. So my name is Devendra Tiwari. I am a principal program manager in the Azure Security Engineering team. My team is responsible for overseeing the security of Azure. I myself am program manager owner of the Azure Disk Encryption capability and some of the other security capabilities in Azure. We will look at, as I said, we'll look at the different encryption offerings of Azure, and one of them is the Azure Disk Encryption capabilities for virtual machines. Some of the announcement which made yesterday, we'll go over the announcement as well. Okay, so I've listed a bunch of objectives here. Not sure how many objectives we will be able to cover depending on how many questions you have, depending on how the demo goes. But at a high level, what we are looking at to cover in this session is help you understand the Azure data protection principles. We talked about some of the scenarios where you would have a requirement, whether it's a security mandate based on your organizational security requirements or compliance mandates or data regulatory mandates to protect your data. So we'll look at some of those principles. We'll discuss the Azure encryption at rest promise or promises, what are the promises Azure provides to our customers when we talk about encryption at rest or encryption in transit. We'll review the Azure encryption and key management models, what are the different models we look into, we offer, and then, you know, what are the models we allow you to opt into to protect your Azure workloads. And then, as I said, we'll discuss at length the Azure Disk Encryption capability with a few demos. And in the end, we'll basically summarize and review the different offerings we have looked at from the data protection perspective. Now, given there are so many objectives we have, one thing we really want you to walk away from this session is basically have an understanding of the different encryption offerings provided by Azure at different levels of the containers, whether it could be the compute, Azure compute. Earlier, I heard a gentleman talking about attending Corey Sanders' session on Azure Compute. So yes, how you can, you know, protect your compute workloads, virtual machines, and all that. Storage, we have Lavanya here in the room, who is the storage server-side encryption program manager to help answer any storage-related questions. And then we'll basically look into the other offerings like SQL and, you know, Data Lake and all that stuff. So yes, one or two key takeaways about the data protection offerings, how it is integrated with the Azure key management capability, the Azure Key Vault, or how those capabilities helps to integrate with your on-premise key management or, you know, other key management scheme you could have. Now, when we talk about the Azure data protection principles, now some of the key things which come into mind is how is my data not only protected at rest through encryption, which provides confidentiality, but at the same time, how is my data isolated? Now, given Azure Public is a multi-tenant model where you could have one tenancy co-located with another one, how is Azure protecting my data? What level of isolation and segregation guarantees are provided by Azure so that my data is isolated and segregated from another customer, right? One customer is not able to see my data, or vice versa, right? So those are basically some of the key principles when we talk about the data isolation or segregation. And then when we talk about data at rest protection, here we are talking about, okay, what encryption scheme I need to adopt or I need to opt at my application level to protect my data or to encrypt my data. Then when we talk about encryption, then you talk about key management. It's very important that when your data is encrypted, your keys are safeguarded as well. You're not handing those keys to anybody or everybody, right? So those keys must be safeguarded. They must be safely guarded. And then, you know, we talk about the in transit. Hey, is my data over the channel or over the wire sufficiently protected? Is somebody there sniffing over my data, or is there somebody watching my data, whether it's an active man in the middle versus passive man in the middle, right? So is somebody watching my data going in clear or going protected over the wire, right? So it's very important to understand what are the configurations one need to apply to secure that channel or to protect that channel. So that's basically the in-transit data protection. And then when we encrypt the data, the encryption may not be of any value if the data is not available. For example, let's say if a data center goes down or if a particular cluster goes down, then how does Azure ensure, at the same time, how you as a customer ensure that you have sufficient disaster recovery DR or backups available so that your applications don't go down and the data is available? So data encryption would be providing you confidentiality, but at the same time, you have to make sure that the data is available, and Azure has to make sure that the data is available. So it's very important that those concepts are understood. And then the last point is the data destruction. A lot of time we hear from customers like, hey, in the event if I'm, let's say, decommissioning a particular resource in Azure, or if I'm deleting the data, then is Azure completely destroying the data? What are the standards followed by Azure and, for securely erasing or destroying those kind of data? So those are some of the key principles when we talk about data protection end-to-end. Now, we are not going to focus on all those principles here. Since this is an encryption-related talk, we are going to only talk about the at-rest encryption capabilities or offerings provided by Azure, and then how it's integrated with the Azure Key Management or your key management scheme. Now, when we talk about Azure as a platform, now we'll not spend too much time on this slide, but just to help you understand conceptually, when we talk about Azure as a platform, it's very important that we build a robust, a resilient platform so that the bad guys out there, they are not attacking the platform and they are not succeeding in successfully launching the attacks on the platform. So there are security controls built into the platform to make the platform, as I said, robust, resilient against the security attacks. Now, we'll not get into the specifics of what those security controls are at each layer of the stack, but at a high level, we want to assure you that, yes, the platform, there's a lot of time and energy spent in building the preventative built-in controls, building the detective controls, and then in the event if something goes wrong somewhere, then we have the ability to, respond or take corrective actions against that. So that's at a high level, how do we secure the platform? Now, how do we empower our customers so that they can leverage those capabilities to build secure applications inside Azure, to deploy secure applications into Azure? I was talking to Darren, who is the IT director. So when you have deployed your applications in Azure, then how do you leverage those security capabilities so that you are able to not only securely can build the applications, securely deploy, but at the same time, you are able to operationalize those applications throughout the life cycle in a secure fashion. Now, here we are again trying to get to the topic. Here we are talking about the encryption scheme. So from an encryption perspective, what are the different encryption offerings, the encryption capabilities, and the key management offerings we have for our Azure customers? So we'll be focusing on those. Now, from the assurance perspective or from the promises perspective, like what kind of promise Azure provides or assurance Azure provides to its customers? The first and the most important one is the control. Now, when customers come to us and ask us about, hey, if I'm deploying my applications in Azure, am I going to lose all the control? Am I going to lose all the transparency? Am I going to lose the ability to gain insight into the activities happening inside the my environment or my customer environment in Azure? No, not really. In fact, one of the promise we have is you have all the control of your application environment, of your customer environment, irrespective of whether you are deploying a virtual machine-like resource or a storage-like resource or a database. You are the custodian of your application environment. You can bring in your security configuration. You can bring in your encryption control. So from an encryption perspective, you can choose if and when you want your data to be encrypted. That's under completely under your control. You can choose what encryption keys you want to use and where they are stored, whether they are stored in Azure, where we have the Azure Key Vault as the key management service, or whether you want those keys to be safeguarded on your on-premises key management scheme. You have complete control over that. And then you can decide at any point in time during the life cycle of your application running in Azure to revoke access to anybody. You can revoke access to applications, you can revoke access to users. So that level of control you have for your application from the encryption and from the key management perspective. Now, when we talk about control, that's a good thing. But then, how do I get insight into what kind of activity is happening inside my application environment? Will an Azure administrator, or whether it's a malicious outsider or a determined insider, will they be able to get into my application environment and do some kind of, you know, things which they are not supposed to? So do I have the ability to see all the activities happening inside my environment? Yes, through the transparency, through the different security toolings or the capabilities we provide, the auditing, the logging, the monitoring capabilities we provide. We enable you to have full visibility to the encryption state of your data. Whether somebody has, let's say, turned off encryption for whatever reason, accidental versus, you know, whether it was, you know, malicious, then yes, you get to know that, yes, somebody has turned off through the logging, monitoring, alerting, and all that stuff. And we'll take a look at the demo. And then you need to know at any point in time where your data is stored, whether there are data sovereignty requirements, where your data must reside within a particular jurisdiction, within a particular geography, right? So you have the full right to know that, yes, the data is staying in that geography, and Azure is assuring you on that. And then, as I said, like, you have the ability to view the logs, the activities, the events of interest happening inside your resources to help you make an informed decision. And then there are contractual commitments, as I said, like security, privacy, and compliance. And then you have regulatory or contractual commitments where the data processing agreements or EU model, the European Union model clauses, the privacy protection laws, the HIPAA or the BA kind of agreements, right? So those contractual commitments or requirements requires us to ensure that, yes, we meet those letter of the laws to ensure that the data sovereignty requirements, the data at rest requirements, and the data privacy control requirements are met. So that, at a high level, from the promises perspective, wanted to share with you, like, what level of control you have, how much transparency or how much insight and visibility you get into the environment, and then how those encryption offerings or capabilities help you meet those contractual commitments or the regulatory commitments. Now, let's spend some time on understanding the different encryption model. The different encryption models which are supported and offered by Azure, and then what encryption or key management scheme you can opt into for those models. On the left side of the screen, you will see the server encryption model. On the right side, you see the client encryption model. Now, the server encryption model, the first one, the first column, if I can shine this light laser, the first one where we are talking about server-side encryption using service-managed keys, where the keys, the encryption keys, the data encryption keys, or the master keys, they're all managed by the service. For example, if you're using, let's say, Azure Storage as an encryption capability, then yes, the encryption keys are managed by the Azure Storage service. So that's what that first column means, where you have server-side encryption using the service managed keys. Now, in that case, yes, Azure can see your decrypted data. Now, when you talk about the second column, server-side encryption using customer managed keys. Now, here, you are basically either you are bringing your own key as part of the BYOK, bring your own key offering, or you are asking Azure Key Vault service, and we'll look into what Azure Key Vault service is. It's a key management service where you are safeguarding your keys and secrets. You are asking the Azure Key Vault service to safeguard your keys. So in that case as well, the service, the Azure services can see the decrypted data. But given that the solutions are integrated, the server-side offering with service-managed keys or the server-side offering with the customer-managed keys, the integration is at the platform level end-to-end. So that's where you get the full cloud functionality because the different interfaces are integrated. And then the third thing, the third row here is where we are saying for both those offerings, Microsoft manages your keys, right? For the first offering, we are saying Microsoft manages the keys. For the service side, service managed keys, I give an example of Azure Storage, where the service is managing the keys, meaning Microsoft Azure is managing your keys. When we talk about customer managed keys in Azure Key Vault, you as a customer, remember our promise, the number one promise is control, where you are the custodian of your keys, you manage the keys, you have full visibility as part of our transparency promise into the visibility of the keys and all that. So customer control the keys via the Azure Key Vault service. Now let's look into the third column where the server-side encryption using on-premises customer managed keys. Now in this case, the customer control their keys on-premise, where you could have your on-premise key management scheme using a hardware security module like Thales or SafeNet or whatever. You are basically the custodian of the key management scheme. Now, when you shift to the right side, which is the client encryption, here you control your destiny end to end, meaning you basically choose which specific data you want to encrypt, what encryption scheme you want to adopt or apply, and then what key management scheme you want to use, whether you want to use the Azure Key Vault as the key management scheme or you want to use your on-premise key management scheme. Now, if you have your workloads, now here we are saying that you will get a reduced cloud functionality. When you deploy your workloads in Azure, and if you're trying to, for every, let's say, transaction, you're trying to reach out to your on-premise key management scheme, then you would see some latency, you would see some other issues. So that's where you may not be able to get the complete cloud functionality, you would get some reduced cloud functionality. But the point here is that, yes, both the client encryption and the server-side encryption are supported, are offered to the customer, and then you as a customer can make the best choice or you can make an informed decision on which scheme works for you. At the end of the day, the goal is to make sure that some of the protection benefits you get, like offline attack, where somebody's walking away with your disk or somebody has compromised the storage or the containers and all that stuff. And then help you meet the security and compliance commitments by meeting those data sovereignty laws or those compliance mandates and all that. Microsoft Azure Key Vault. How many of you folks have heard about Key Vault? Okay, good. So I would say almost 60 to 70% of the folks have heard about Azure Key Vault. How many of you are actually using Azure Key Vault? That's good. That's a good, decent percentage. So I will not go into the specifics given almost 60, 70% of you guys know about Key Vault. At a high level, Key Vault is a key management service to safeguard the customer secrets and keys where all the actions, depending on what scheme you choose, is rooted into the HSM. It is backed by HSM, the hardware security module. The Azure Key Vault service uses Thales as the HSM. It's FIPS 140-2 compliant. But at the end of the day, when you use Key Vault, remember our control promise, you have full control over who you want to grant access to, which particular apps or users you want to authorize access to, and then who you want to revoke access to. And at the same time, you have full insight into each and every activity happening inside the key vault. So that's at a high level the key vault service. Now, very often we get questions from our customers on around, is key vault, when I use key vault, do I get a dedicated HSM? No, the Azure key vault is not an equivalent of dedicated HSM. Meaning, when you use the Azure key vault service, given that Azure key vault is a multi-tenant service backed by the HSM, you are basically become part of that multi-tenant model. You're not going to get a dedicated HSM. That's one point I wanted to call out so that you understand. Now getting into the specifics of the encryption across the different Azure workloads. When we talk about the different Azure workloads or the different Azure scenarios which your service could be using, for example, your service could be using SQL Azure, it could be using SQL Server in Azure, it could be using Azure Storage, it could be using Cortana, there was a question about Cortana earlier, or it could be using virtual machines to deploy the workloads. Depending on which specific scenario we're talking about, we have the encryption offering to encrypt your, for example, virtual machines, data disk, operating system disk, SQL Server, databases, and all that. So we have encryption offerings integrated with the Azure Key Vault or your key management scheme. Now, we will spend some time on disk encryption. This is one of the capability we announced yesterday. How many of you have heard about this announcement yesterday where we announced that Azure Disk Encryption for Linux virtual machines is now generally available, and Azure Disk Encryption for the virtual machines which are backed by premium storage is now generally available. So we made that announcement yesterday. Now, few months back, I believe that was mid-May, where we announced the Azure Disk Encryption for Windows virtual machines. So that was 2 months back, where you have the ability to encrypt your virtual machine operating system disk and the data disk. And yesterday, we announced it for Linux and for VMs backed by premium storage. So that basically completes the disk encryption offering for both Windows and Linux for all the standard tier VMs, including A, D, DS, premium storage, and all that. Now, very often we get questions around, why disk encryption? Why do I need to encrypt my disk? So we talked about the security requirements, security mandates, where Jude could be asked by his chief security officer that, hey, when you deploy your virtual machines in Azure, you must make sure that you meet this CSO letter of the law or this requirements where your disks are encrypted, operating system disk and the data disk. So this is where the Azure Disk Encryption service come into play. It helps you meet your security mandates. It helps you meet your compliance mandate. For example, there are country-specific regulatory requirements where in a specific country, there is a legal requirement that all the content deployed in cloud, including the virtual machines, data disk, and, you know, they must be encrypted right from the provisioning of the virtual machine till the life cycle of the virtual machine, right? So in those specific regulatory mandated areas or regions, Azure Disk Encryption comes very handy. Now, it not only encrypts your data at rest, where your disks are encrypted at rest, but it also enhances your control from a theft scenario perspective. For example, let's say if your container where your disks are persisted, the data disk and the OS disk are persisted, if that container, if that storage gets compromised for whatever reason, then that theft may not be very meaningful because the keys which encrypt these VHDs or those disks, they are safeguarded somewhere else, right? So unless somebody has compromised your key management scheme and the container or the storage where those disks are persisted and being able to correlate that this disk is encrypted by this keys, you know, then only that attack could be successful or somebody could mount that attack successfully. Otherwise, that theft is very meaningless when your disks are encrypted by keys which are safeguarded in key management scheme. Yes, Sanjeev. Yes, we'll get into. Sanju had a question about, is this using BitLocker? So yes, when we go to the next slide, we'll talk about it. So yes, it helps to meet your regulatory requirements. Your data, your disks are encrypted at rest, end-to-end, right from the provisioning of the VM till the life cycle of the VM. And that's an announcement I was talking about, the availability for Linux virtual machines and VMs backed by premium storage. So just wanted to reiterate one more time that Azure Disk Encryption for both Windows and Linux virtual machines is now generally available in Azure. Okay, so we talked about why Azure Disk Encryption. What Azure Disk Encryption is, it's encryption of your Windows and Linux virtual machine where your operating system disk and the data disk, they are encrypted at rest. The keys are safeguarded in Azure Key Vault service. Which belongs to basically the customer subscription. So when you spin up your virtual machines, when you turn on encryption, your keys, they get safeguarded or they are safeguarded inside your Azure Key Vault. Value proposition we talked about, it helps you to meet your regulatory mandates, security mandates, and at the same time, it helps address the offline attack we talked about earlier where somebody is, you know, stealing your disk or walking away with your disk. Which is basically the loss of disk or loss of storage account. Now, very often we get questions around, okay, so you have disk encryption. What are the different scenarios supported so that I can turn on encryption for my virtual machines? So we support at high level three scenarios. The first one is where you can bring your encrypted disks. So let's say that you have your virtual machines on-premise, and now you want to deploy those applications to Azure. So you can, if you have those virtual machines encrypted on-premise, you can bring them to Azure and then request Azure to provision a virtual machine out of that encrypted payload or out of those encrypted VHDs. So that's the first scenario, new virtual machine provisioning from customer encrypted VHDs. The second one is when you come to Azure and provision a new virtual machine from the Azure gallery, where you're saying that, Azure, give me a new virtual machine, whether it's Windows or Linux, and as the virtual machine is provisioned, I want Azure to also mark that virtual machine as encrypted, meaning I want Azure to encrypt that virtual machine. So yes, you have that option as well. Or you could have virtual machines running or existing, pre-existing virtual machines in Azure, and you want to now turn on encryption on those virtual machines. So those are the three scenarios, high-level scenarios we support for the Azure Disk Encryption. Now, there is also a service called as Azure Backup Service. How many of you have heard about the Azure Backup Service? Nice. So very often we are asked about, okay, if the virtual machine is marked encrypted, will Azure Backup Service work against that encrypted virtual machine? Yes. It does work, and it lets you not only encrypt it not only lets you back up the encrypted virtual machine, but it lets you restore a new virtual machine out of that encrypted backup. So that's the fourth scenario where you can backup using the Azure Backup Service and then restore using the encrypted VM. Now, one question from an engineering perspective you would like to understand is, are there other backup solutions you would be using, I mean, other than Azure Backup? Do you have your own homegrown or your own custom or third-party backup solutions? Okay, great. Yes, because then we need to understand what those solutions are and what would be the engineering challenges associated to, you know, integrate our disk encryption with those third-party or homegrown solutions. Now, one thing from the protection perspective we talked about, when your systems are encrypted, the most important thing is not only encrypting them at rest, but making sure that those systems are available as and when needed, right? So it's very important that the systems are available, the DR or the backup and the availability is maintained. But at the same time, it's very important that when you encrypt your system, you have a strict access control still maintained. You don't want to think that, oh, I have encrypted my systems, my data is protected at rest, the confidentiality is achieved, but then I have my loose access control implemented or configured on my either storage or on my key management service, Azure Key Vault. So it's very important that the access control is still maintained and you are not handing privileges to anybody or everybody, right? You still apply the least privilege principle. You still revoke access when that access is not needed, and you still maintain a limited number of users who have access to your key. So that's basically the access control. And at the same time, it's very important that you have monitoring and logging turned on, so that way you know if some malicious insider or an outsider has turned off encryption on your systems, and then you get an immediate notification or alert that your systems are not encrypted anymore. So yes, so those are some of the key data protection principles you need to consider even when your systems are encrypted. Now, from the feature perspective, what are the different features when we talk about disk encryption? What are the different features we offer to our customers? Of course, the first and the most important thing is the ability to encrypt the systems, whether it's a Windows virtual machine or whether it's a Linux virtual machine. So that's basically the encryption. And then when we talk about encryption, then you have to support decryption. So, or when you talk about enable encryption, you have to support disable encryption. So yes, disable encryption is supported. There is a caveat for Linux disable encryption, and we'll talk about it when we go through the demo. And then the other feature capabilities, for example, yes, we talked about integrating the BitLocker encryption keys or the Linux encryption keys into the Azure Key Vault and all that, and then supporting the RAID-based scheme for Linux or the Windows storage spaces. Have you folks heard about storage spaces? Good. Yeah, so storage spaces support BitLocker, and disk encryption, when you have your systems configured using storage spaces, then you can use disk encryption. And then we talked about the Azure backup service. Now, what are the various operating systems, versions, and the distributions we support? For example, for Windows, we support Windows Server 2008, R2, and above. Windows Server 2016 technical preview is not currently supported, but when Windows Server 2016 is released and supported by Azure, then we will, disk encryption will support that. For Linux, we support the four distribution, the Ubuntu, CentOS, SUSE, and Red Hat Enterprise Linux. So these are the four distributions which are supported by Linux, by Azure, and disk encryption supports those distributions. Now, before we go into the demo, let me quickly log into my system. So while the system is loading, there was a question earlier from Sanjeev about, is it using BitLocker? So yes, for Windows virtual machines, the underlying technology which is used to encrypt the VMs is BitLocker. For Linux virtual machines, the underlying technology used is the DM or the device mapper crypt technology. BitLocker has been there in Windows for many, many releases. So for Azure disk encryption, we leverage BitLocker, the industry standard encryption technology. And then for Linux, as I said, we use the DM crypt. So let me quickly go into, before we go through the workflow, if I can get number 7. Folks in the back of the room, can you see the screen? Or do you want me to change the font? Okay, so we talked about how do you gain insight as part of our transparency, how do you gain insight into the health of your resources in Azure? How many folks have heard about Azure Security Center? Nice. So Azure Security Center, as you know, provides you the security health of your resources. So that way you know how your resources are doing, and your CSOs and your CISOs and your security team, when that health looks good, they can sleep well at night, including your CIOs. So that's basically Azure Security Center, where you get an all-up dashboard view into the security health of your resources. And one of the element which surface here is the disk encryption, meaning Azure Security Center will tell you if your disks are encrypted or not, or whether your virtual machines, which you have deployed as part of your Azure deployment, they are encrypted or not. Or if they were earlier previously marked encrypted, and for some reason they were either decrypted maliciously or, you know, intentionally or accidentally, then Azure Security Center is going to, you know, show you an alert saying that your disks are no more encrypted. So let's start with the Azure Security Center. So I am the chief security officer of an organization working for John, who's sitting there in the audience. And John came to me and said that, hey, there is something wrong with this virtual machine. And this virtual machine is showing red for disk encryption, meaning somebody have either disabled encryption on that virtual machine, or that virtual machine is deviating from the security baseline policy. So now, how do we make sure that that virtual machine now conforms to the security policy with which an organization wants to, you know, implement on those resources? So let's take a look at this virtual machine, DT-ED-Ignite. And this virtual machine is the one where I am getting a recommendation from Azure Security Center that the virtual machine disks are not encrypted. And that recommendation, or that you can say a finding or an alert, is kind of marked with a high severity, meaning that it needs immediate attention. So with that, let's take a look at how can I now mark that machine to be encrypted. Now, another way to look at it is here. I can run a PowerShell commandlet, the get-azure-rm-vm-disk-encryption-status. I specify the name of that virtual machine, dt-ad-ignite, and I know that here the PowerShell commandlet returns the status that that virtual machine is not marked encrypted. So let's take a, see here it shows that it's not marked encrypted. So let's take a look at simple steps I can perform to mark or to encrypt that virtual machine. Now, this is another view I can see in the portal, which shows that encryption is not enabled on that virtual machine. Now, few things we were discussing earlier. If I want to turn on Azure Disk Encryption, the first and the most important thing I would need as a customer is I need to have an Azure Key Vault. An Azure Key Vault is the key management scheme where the BitLocker encryption keys and the Linux passphrase are safeguarded. So I need a key vault. Now, key vault authentication, as many of you know, that key vault authentication is based on an Azure Active Directory application or service principal or user. So which means that not only I need an Azure key vault, but I also need an associated Azure Active Directory application which can be granted permission to access that key vault. So let's take a quick look at how I can create a key vault before I can enable encryption on this virtual machine. So what I'm doing here is I go here, and key vault is now integrated into the Azure Resource Manager portal in public preview. So let's create a key vault here. And here I'm using an existing resource group. So that resource group got populated. And here I'm choosing the pricing as the HSM backed and not a software backed. So I choose that. And what I'm doing is when I create a vault, you have to turn this enable access to Azure Disk Encryption for volume encryption property. What this property does is it lets the platform access your vault so that the platform can provision your virtual machine, can put the encryption keys into your vault, and when the virtual machine is moved from one cluster to another cluster, in the event if something goes wrong inside the platform, then the platform has the ability to go to your key vault, read the keys, and then boot your virtual machine out of those keys. So that's the reason that you need to set this permission. So I have set that. And with these three things, I am able to create a key vault. So now a key vault is created. So here it should show up when I refresh. So here dt-ad-ignite1 key vault is created. Now remember, I was saying that in order for that key vault, if I need to access that key vault, or in order for that key vault to be reachable, I need to have an AD application, because the key vault authentication is all based on AD application. So what I'm doing is, I go to that key vault and I grant permission to that AD application. So what I'm saying is, I have pre-created an AD application by, there is another blade inside the Azure Resource Management portal where you can go and you can register your Azure Active Directory application using the screen which I'm showing. So what I've done for the purpose of this demo, I have pre-created this Azure Active Directory application. I go to my key vault and I select a principal here. So what it is going to do is, it's going to do a lookup, and it found that application, and I select that principal, and that principal now has permission to my key vault. Now, I don't want to grant lots of privileges to that principal. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to follow the principle of least privilege. I'm going to grant only the required permission for Azure Disk Encryption functionality to work. So the required permission in this case is, I provide a wrap key permission on the keys, and on the secrets, I provide a set permission. Now with that, now my key vault is configured following the principle of least privilege, granting access to my Azure Active Directory service principle. Okay, so, oops, sorry, I did not click save by mistake. So it's very important that you click save, otherwise your permissions will not get set. So I select here one more time. I go to the permission here. I select wrap key. Then I go to select permission on the secret, and the permission required is set permission. And then I click OK. And this time I'm making sure that I'm clicking save. The moment I save here, you will see that that AAD principle has now appeared in that UX, showing that it has now access to that key vault. So remember, for disk encryption, the minimum permissions required on the key vault is wrap key on the keys and set on the secret. And then the third permission which is required is enable for disk encryption checkbox so that the platform can provision the VM. Now, what we are going to do is, we are going to look at GitHub. So here we have the GitHub ARM, the Azure Resource Manager template. Are you folks familiar with the ARM templates? So we have published a bunch of ARM Azure Resource Manager templates so that you can use those templates to configure your disk encryption on your virtual machines, whether it's a running virtual machine, whether it's a new virtual machine, or whether it's a virtual machine which is pre-encrypted on your on-premise. So what I'm doing here is, I'm going to click on Deploy to Azure button. And if you go to GitHub and if you search on Encrypt and you look for the Azure Quick Start template, you will see all those templates for, as I said, running VMs, existing VMs, or new VMs. Now, here is the template which is getting loaded. Now, what I'm doing here is, the name of my virtual machine is this one. This is the virtual machine which is not encrypted. So I need to enter the name of that virtual machine. Now, remember that AAD application which we created? This is the AAD application we created. And this AAD application has an application identity, which in this case is this application identity. So I copy that. I input it here. And then it has a client ID and the secret. So I'm just going to put a secret here, the key vault name. Okay, so just a minute, let me make sure I have the right template. This is the template for Encrypt running Windows VM. I open that, I click on this one more time to be sure. Okay, so the template is loading. So what I'm doing here is I'll go ahead and make sure yes is the right template. And yeah, so actually the template is this one. This is the VM, this is the client ID. And my secret is here, which is basically the AAD application secret. And then my key vault name. So who remembers the name of the key vault we created? Okay, I heard something. So the resource group is, this is basically the resource group where my virtual machine is residing. This is the DT-ADRG demo resource group. And then with that, I'm saying all the volumes of that virtual machine needs to be encrypted, the operating system and the data volume. I click OK. I select basically the resource group one more time. Here, my virtual machine is residing in the West US location. I click on the legal terms for that virtual machine. And then with that, now I have deployed and my template is being deployed. So this is going to encrypt my virtual machine. Now that is for the Windows virtual machine. Now let's take a look at how I can use this same Azure Resource Manager template and I can create a Red Hat Enterprise Linux 7.2 virtual machine with a RAID 0 configuration. So I click on deploy to Azure, the same thing we did earlier. So I click on deploy to Azure. And the template is going to come up soon. Okay, so the template is coming up. Okay, so I am just typing the admin name for that virtual machine. So this is a Linux virtual machine. So, and again, the same AAD client ID we used, we are going to use the same AAD application. So that it can authenticate against the key vault. The secret is here. The key vault name again, anybody remember it? I know it's 4 o'clock in the evening, so. this is my resource group. Now, and then I can give whatever VM name I want. So I'm giving it Azure Disk Encryption Red Hat, Ignite, if I can spell Ignite, Ignite 2 as the virtual machine. So this is my Red Hat 7.2 virtual machine with a RAID 0 configuration. I click OK. I enter the subscription name, which is DT-ADRG demo. That's my resource group name, and then I accept the legal terms when that template is loaded. Okay, so with these few clicks, now what I have done is I have enabled encryption on a running Windows virtual machine. I have created a Linux 7.2 RAID 0 backed virtual machine, and it's going to be encrypted right from the word go. Now, while those things are happening in the background, let's quickly see where are we with. So I can go and I can check the status of the virtual machine. So do you see that the virtual machine is now marked as encrypted? Previously, it was marked as not encrypted. With few clicks, with few inputs, we are able to encrypt the virtual machine. And now the operating system the disk and the data disk. So here you can see that the data volume is not encrypted right now because it's the encryption process is happening in the background. Once that encryption process gets completed, then you will see that disk is encrypted. Now let's take a quick look for our Linux. How are we doing on the Linux one? So anybody remember the name of that Linux machine? ADE, RH, Ignite, what was that, 2? Okay, great. So at least I have a friend in the audience. Okay, so now I'm going to run that. So while this is happening, what we can also do is we can go to our Azure Security Center, and then we can check the status there, because remember that Windows machine which was earlier marked as not encrypted, we have encrypted it now. So my Azure Security Center, this red thing should go away in few minutes. So we'll come to that. So we have few things happening. The Linux encryption status is being returned, and here you can see if I go to the virtual machines, the virtual machine provisioning is okay. If I filter them, I have a bunch of virtual machines under my subscription. So here you will see that the DT-AD-RH-Ignite-2 virtual machine is being provisioned, is created, and as it's created, the encryption is turned on for that virtual machine. So it's in the creating step right now. And remember our earlier virtual machine, DT-AD-Ignite, this virtual machine encryption is enabled now. So if we quickly go back to our PowerShell commandlet, and if we run the status again, then let's see what we see. We should see now that the OS volume is encrypted and the data volume is encrypted. So both the volumes are now encrypted with a few clicks. Okay, so we'll come back to the Linux one later. Now let's switch to the, now what has happened in the background. So let me help you understand what has happened in the background. So let's quickly go back to the flow. So let's skip this one. So what we did for the Windows virtual machine is you had a running virtual machine in Azure deployed, up and running, and it is not marked encrypted. So what I did here is I passed the encryption configuration to the virtual machine through the ARM template, the Azure Resource Manager, and then the control then basically flows through the Azure platform, making sure that that configuration which I requested now gets applied, and from then on, the virtual machine is marked as encrypted. So remember, we created a AAD application, we granted permission to that AAD application to the Key Vault, we created the new Azure Key Vault and granted the set and the wrap key permission. So with few clicks, with few steps, you are able to now encrypt your virtual machines. For Windows, it's BitLocker. For Linux, it's the DMCrypt encryption scheme. Now, I wanted to, while the Linux encryption is happening in the background, I wanted to quickly show, let's say that I am a bad guy, and I'm able to get hold of the encrypted disk which John has previously encrypted for his subscription. So I copied his encrypted disk, and now I'm trying to be a smart hacker or a bad guy. So I copied it, and now I'm trying to double click on it. The moment I double click on it, nothing should happen, because the VHD, the disk, they are encrypted, and the keys, they are safeguarded in Azure Key Vault, and I have no access to the keys. So just having access to the VHDs or the disk is not sufficient. That theft is not very meaningful, as we have seen earlier. So that was one of the demo I wanted to show. Now, one thing is here. Can you see the screen? So in case of Linux, now what is happening is, remember, we provision a Linux machine. We turn on encryption on that Linux machine. So the Linux encryption takes some time. Depending on whether it's a premium storage VM or a standard or non-premium storage VM, the encryption time differs. So here what you're seeing, the get encryption commandlet is returning a status saying it's not yet encrypted, it's not mounted, because the virtual machine is just being provisioned. After some time, if we check the status again, then it will tell you that the encryption has started and it's in process. So those were some of the demos wanted to show for Azure disk encryption. Now moving on, So we talked about the keys are safeguarded in Key Vault. For Windows, it's BitLocker. For Linux, it's Linux passphrase. And then, since you are the custodian of the Key Vault, you have full control, you have full access, and you determine which apps or which users you want to grant access to the Key Vault. So that's the Azure encryption. Now, switching gears. Moving on to another encryption offering. So we looked at Azure Disk Encryption to encrypt the virtual machines, the IaaS virtual machines for Windows and Linux. Now, SQL encryption. When you have SQL Server deployed in Azure, or you are using the SQL Azure databases, how can you encrypt your databases using the SQL Server encryption? So SQL Server, how many folks are SQL Server folks who have data? How many of you have heard about the transparent data encryption or always encrypted? Great. So yes, so SQL Server offers you two encryption offerings or two ways to encrypt your databases. You can use the always encrypted, where the encryption is transparent to the client application, and you can still perform query-like operation on the encrypted data. So that's basically the always encrypted, where you are performing your encryption configuration on the client side, and then you can mark your specific columns or, you know, to encrypt. And then transparent data encryption, TDE. TDE has been there in SQL Server for many releases now. Transparent data encryption, it encrypts your databases, including the backup, the transaction log files, and all that stuff at rest. Now, when you deploy your applications in Azure, whether you're deploying a SQL Server on an IaaS, infrastructure as a service virtual machine, or you're deploying or you're using SQL Azure, the platform as a service capabilities, what are the different encryption offerings you need to be aware of so that you can make an informed decision, you can choose from it. And at the same time, how does it integrate with the Azure Key Vault versus your on-premise key management scheme? So this table basically articulates that, where, and then on the last column, it shows where does that offering stand today, whether it's available as a generally available service, or whether it's in preview, or, you know, or whether it's coming in future. So that table basically shows, yes, you have the option to manage the keys as a customer manage key management scheme, or you can use the service management, service managed offering. Remember, we looked at the server-side encryption and the client-side encryption with customer managers, service manager. So this table basically articulates that. Now, we are not going to spend too much time on this. There are a few sessions I listed at the bottom of the slide. I definitely recommend you to go to those sessions if you're using SQL Server or if you're a SQL Server fan. Those sessions will basically provide more details on the always encrypted, the transparent data encryption capabilities, and some of the best practices you can follow to protect your SQL workloads. Moving on to Lavanya's feature, storage encryption. Server-side encryption for Azure storage, how many of you have heard about it? A few folks. We announced the general availability of that feature 2 weeks back, Lavanya. So that is basically, you know, enabling the storage container or the storage account where you can turn on the encryption for your storage account using the Azure service managed keys, where your storage blobs, your page blobs, your blobs is now encrypted once you turn on the encryption. And, you know, like it is, as I said, it is at the storage account level. It is, you don't have to take any additional steps or action. It's kind of a single click through. You pick, select the storage account. You turn on encryption on that account. And from then on, any new writes happening to that storage account or to that storage container for blobs get encrypted. And then client-side encryption. Storage also offers client-side encryption, where you have more granularity on what encryption scheme you want to choose, what key management scheme you want to choose, and then you basically control your destiny through the entire encryption scheme. So that's basically the client-side encryption, which allows you to encrypt data inside your application, where you want to encrypt, you know, as I said, like end-to-end from right from your application development to the deployment and the operationalization of the application. And then Lavanya has a session, I believe, on Thursday morning. where Lavanya is going to talk about the storage server side encryption and some of the other capabilities and the best practices you need to follow. So I would suggest you guys attend that session to learn more about it. And then the Azure Data Lake Store encryption, which is again completely transparent service side encryption, no client side changes needed. All the data inside the ADL or the Azure Data Lake Store is encrypted with the chosen scheme of your choice, whether it's service managed keys versus customer managed keys. So both those schemes are supported, and then you can choose which scheme you want to opt into. The solution right now is in private preview. I have listed here the Azure Data Lake session for September 29, so feel free to attend that session if you want to learn more about that capability. So we have looked at Azure Disk Encryption, which is a compute resource for virtual machine protection. We have looked at SQL Server Infrastructure as a Service or Platform as a Service. We have looked at storage, server-side encryption, client-side encryption. We have looked at ADL, the Azure Data Store encryption, both service managed and customer managed. And then we looked at some of the customer promises or the assurances which the data protection or the encryption at rest offering Azure provides. With that, this is kind of a high-level summary into what we discussed in the last 60-plus minutes, the different encryption offerings at the different container level using the encryption key management scheme of your choice, whether it's service managed versus, you know, customer managed. So that's all I have from the content perspective. I already see a hand being raised. So if you can just give me 1 second. I'll run my the PowerShell command line in the background. So now we have 12 more minutes. I know this is, I think, the last session of the day. So I don't want to hold you guys for long. We have 12 minutes. If you have any burning questions or clarifications, you can use the mic or, you know, feel free to ask. Let's start with Darren. Is the mic on?
Okay. Hello. while I'm happy to see that encryption is available in Azure for virtual machines, the process seems a bit not very user-friendly. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to know the methodology behind why a template has to be applied from GitHub instead of having everything right in the Azure panel.
Right. Yeah, that's a very good question. So just to repeat the question, for Azure Disk Encryption, what Darren is saying is that the user experience is not very, you can say, user-friendly, not very intuitive, where you can go through, let's say, a minimum clicks to turn on encryption. Why do I need to use template, or why do I need to use PowerShell commandlet and all that? A very good question. Now, in the fullness of time, we would definitely get to that min-click experience or a checkbox-like experience where you can turn it on, or it could be on by default. So right now, yes, the UX, we are working to streamline the UX experience. One of the architectural challenge here is the keys or the BitLocker keys or the Linux passphrases, we safeguard those inside your key vault, right? Now, if we have an idea about what your key vault is going to be, then yes, we can get to that experience. So, and with Key Vault, then the authentication authorization is based on Azure Active Directory, where an AAD principle is required, right? So in order to get to those minimum clicks or streamline the experience, yes, we'll have to look into an option where the Key Vault is either existed, it's existing by default, or we create the Key Vault, the platform creates a Key Vault on behalf of the customer, and then push those keys into that. That is something which is being looked at, yes, to streamline the experience. Good question. Sure. Yeah. SQL. Yeah. Yes. Bitlocker, yeah. Right. Sure, yeah. That's a very good suggestion, and I completely agree with you. The suggestion is all about, like, when you have this multiple layers of encryption across these different containers, and then you have the key management scheme, 6 months down the line or year down the line, then how do you ensure that, hey, you have successfully able to correlate the keys, like BitLocker keys versus TD keys or storage keys and vice versa, right? Yeah, so it's very important that when you have these different containers and the key management scheme, we provide you a nice holistic view that, you know, so that you can correlate. And at the same time, when we integrate with solutions like the Azure Backup Service, those solutions, they have the ability to not only take a backup, but have the ability to restore, so that way you don't have to worry about, you know, that, this key correlates to this particular payload versus this VHDs and all that stuff. A very good suggestion. Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly, yeah. Exactly, right. Yeah, that's a good point, because the compliance mandates or the security mandates are like, hey, the keys must rotate every 1 year, right? So now there are efforts underway to make, you know, for example, disk encryption, where you are rotating your Active Directory application, certificates and your BitLocker keys. Let's say if it gets compromised, now you want to rotate, right? Or you want to generate a new one. So yeah, so there are efforts underway, and then at the same time, completely agree with you on 7 years down the line, you would end up with many, many level of keys and many, many version of the keys, right? So how do we streamline that experience? So yes, there are efforts underway to streamline, and at the same time, efforts underway to, most of the time customers may not realize that, hey, the Active Directory certificate or your BitLocker key is about to expire, so right? So generate alerts or, you know, some kind of monitoring scheme, so that way you know that you need to take that action, either in an automated way or a manual way. Thanks for the suggestion. Yeah. Any other? Oh yes. So the question is, the keys in the key vault and the secrets in the key vault, are they encrypted? Yes. The key vault always assures you that the keys, all the cryptographic operations performed against the keys, they always are performed within the boundary of the HSM. So you know, key vault supports two schemes: software based when the destination is software, or HSM. From security perspective, we recommend that you use the HSM model, which guarantees you that your cryptographic operation against those keys will always be performed within that HSM boundary, because the keys are rooted into the HSM keys. So yes, they are always safeguarded, they are always encrypted when stored inside key vault. So we can definitely get back to you on how what encryption scheme and how they are encrypted, but Since it's FIPS 140-2 compliance, we use Thales HSM as the backend HSM. But yes, we can get back to you on what encryption scheme, algorithm strength, and all that stuff, and how are those keys generated.
Okay.
Get back to you. Yes, so if you, so the question is, does the platform have access to the customer encrypted VHDs or the encrypted VMs? Yes, so remember the scenario which I was showing where when I created the key vault, I also checked that box and that box was enabled for disk encryption. What that box, what that permission does is it grants a read permission and an unwrap key permission to the platform identity. So when the when your virtual machine is provisioned by the platform has many layers, right? There's a compute layer, which is basically the front end, and then there is a fabric, which basically on creates clusters. On those clusters, the virtual machine gets provisioned. So yes, so now that's a very good observation, a good question. Now, for the AD principle, remember when your virtual machine is running, up and running, and when you turn on BitLocker on that virtual machine, let's say for Windows, then what's happening is we put an agent on that virtual machine, and that agent is the one which initiates the BitLocker operation. It gets the BitLocker keys from the operating system, and it writes those keys into the key vault, and that's the reason that identity that which performs that write operation must have the set permission on the key vault, and that's the permission we set for that identity. And that identity is the one which you are passing in the ARM template which we saw, the AAD client ID and the secret, is the identity which you are passing through that encryption configuration. That configuration goes onto the VM, the agents reach that configuration and use that AAD identity to write to your key vault. But that is only for performing a write operation, right?
Yes,
when
yes, I understand this part, but what I don't understand is that, the Azure will have the VHD running. At
yes.
At some point, it needs to backup and restore.
Yes.
And for backup and restore, you mentioned that it needs to encrypt.
Yes, so backup and restore will have, so when you use the backup service to backup your encrypted VHDs, you are explicitly granting read permission to your key vault to the backup service. That's one thing. Second thing is, what is that? Yes, and so for provisioning a virtual machine or for running a virtual machine, you are granting read permission through that enable for disk encryption checkbox. You're granting a read permission to the platform, and the platform goes to key vault through an identity and perform that read operation on the keys.
Okay.
But the platform at any the platform at no point in time will hold on to your keys. Once it's provisioned, then it's done.
Okay. And there you also mentioned that for the server encryption, we can use also on-prem custom managed key store. So
server side encryption.
Yes.
Exactly. So today, and my apologies, I should have called it out, the server-side encryption with on-premise managed keys, that solution or that scenario is not supported by disk encryption. Disk encryption only supports Azure Key Vault. We do not allow you to safeguard the keys on-premise. Okay. For the storage server-side encryption, that solution uses only the service managed keys, meaning the service should have handled to the keys, and the keys, they are stored inside the Azure storage service. In both those cases, for disk encryption and for storage service, the on-premise key scheme is not supported. That server side with on-premise scenario is supported, where you can use a, let's say, a third-party solution. Azure, through the partner offerings, provide third-party solution like CloudLink or SafeNet, which allows you to run or which allows you to encrypt your virtual machines in Azure, reading or writing the keys to the on-premise key vault or to your on-premise key management scheme. So yes, so that scheme is supported not by the Azure disk encryption or the Azure server-side encryption, but by a third-party solution like CloudLink or SafeNet. Does that? Yeah, her comment was more about the server side, yeah.
There, of course, there are certain scenarios where there are service accounts that need to have kind of, or need to be able to decrypt the VHD.
Right.
So this is what I'm more concerned on the client part.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so disk encryption won't support that. But as I said, the partner solutions like CloudLink, they would support that. You can deploy that CloudLink solution in Azure as well, but you'll have to grant permission to that CloudLink solution to your on-premise key.
Okay. And one last question.
Sure.
Is, for backup and restore of the virtual machine,
yeah.
Basically like copying the PhD somewhere
yeah.
else.
Yeah.
Why does it need to be decrypted and encrypted?
Yeah. Okay, so the way it happens is, let's say that you have a virtual machine in Azure, and those disks, they are persisted in storage. They are encrypted at rest. Now, I have a backup service. The backup service is taking a snapshot backup of those VHDs. Those VHDs are encrypted. It takes a snapshot of those encrypted VHD. And then what it does, it also takes a backup of your keys. Because in future, when you want to restore a virtual machine out of that backed up payload, then it needs to know that it is an encrypted virtual machine or a VHD, and it should have a pointer to your keys. Otherwise, it won't be able to perform a restore operation.
Okay. And where is this backup of the keys and the secret stored, and is it encrypted?
Yes. So the VHDs are encrypted, so that's good. The keys, when they are backed up, Key Vault will never give you the key. The only operation Key Vault will let you do through the backup API is it will take a encrypted backup of the key, and that encryption of that key is by the root HSM key, which means that even though the backup service is keeping a backup of your key, it is encrypted with the root key of the HSM.
Okay.
Make sense? Yes. Exactly.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
So, are you done with the questions? Or? Okay, thank you. Sorry, good.
So, if I were to encrypt everything, what is the largest volume of data in the storage?
Yeah, so a good question. I mean, it's good that we have a storage PM as well, but let me take a stab at it. If I understand correctly, and I could be wrong, Azure today supports 1 terabyte data disk, and then there are efforts underway to increase that to more than 1 terabyte. So, assuming that you have data disks which are 1 terabyte, then the encryption operation always happens. So, for example, if it's a BitLocker for Windows, then the encryption operation always happens on a running VM. The VM is still available to you, and as the encryption step is happening in the background, the content on that disk gets encrypted at that the page file level, right? So, if you're dropping into the blob store, then I would let Lavanya answer that.
Yeah.
Right, right. No, actually, I think, I'm not sure, was that, are you referring to the question from Darren or? The experience, yeah. So not really. I mean, you have the ability to automate the Azure Resource Manager template, ARM template. You can automate the template deployment for a single virtual machine or a group of virtual machine. You can do the same automation through the PowerShell commandlets, where you can configure across a bunch of virtual machines. There are efforts underway to enable encryption through a virtual machine scale set. Not sure if you have heard about virtual machine scale set, VMSS, which is basically a way of deploying a same configuration for, let's say, 100 VMs or 50 VMs. So you want to provision 100 VMs in Azure, and you want to deploy the same configuration from a security perspective or otherwise, and you want to now turn on encryption on those 100 VMs. So you can do that through virtual machine scale set. So that effort is underway. To your point, you can automate the Azure Resource Manager templates or through the PowerShell commandlet to, if you have a scale-like scenario. As I said, we are working to streamline that experience further, where we would go from 10 clicks or 8 clicks to, 2 clicks or a fewer clicks. So yes, so that streamlining is underway. Sure, yeah. Right, right. Yeah, that's a good feedback we have heard from other customers as well around key rotation. There was one gentleman who was suggesting, or he was advising about, because after a period of time, then you have missed the your corporate mandate, security mandate, or compliance mandate of key rotation. So yes, we would definitely look into the auto rotation. Now, there could be some downside, meaning, yes, you still need to know whether it is maliciously somebody has, triggered that rotation, because if we do an auto rotation without telling you as a customer, then there are downsides of that as well, right? Or somebody could have maliciously triggered it from your side. So it's very important that you get those notifications about that key is being rotated, either as part of the corporate mandate, right? So, but yes, the auto key rotation is one of the things we are looking into. Right, exactly, yes, yeah. You would basically enable the logging at the key vault level, where you would know that, hey, certain event has happened, and you would have logging enabled at your virtual machine level as well, where you would know that, okay, somebody has now generated a new BitLocker key or a, So I'm being told by the management folks that we are out of time.